B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to start Eruvin Daf Lamed Hey. We're going to start from the Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, approximately 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Nosnoi b'migdol. If somebody put his Eruv in a migdol, in a closet, and the person himself is the place where he intended to acquire his residence was also in Rishus HaYochid, and the only question is, can he actually get to the Eruv food which is in this closet? V'ovad HaMafteach, where he locked the closet when he put the Eruv, the food, into the closet, and he lost the key. Hareze Eruv, according to the Tanakhama, nonetheless, the Eruv is a kosher Eruv. Even though at this point in time he cannot actually, it seems that he cannot get the food out of the closet. Rabbi Eliezer says, if you don't know that the key is in its place and that you can actually open up the closet and take out the food, and as we said, there's no issue with the key because the person is in Rishus HaYochid and the closet is in Rishus HaYochid, and therefore if he has the key he can easily take the food out. Unless that's the situation, Eino Eruv, the Eruv is not valid. Says the Gemara. The Gemara is going to start with asking a question on the Tanakhama. How can you, Tanakhama, say that the Eruv is a valid Eruv? It's true that you're in Rishus HaYochid and your food is in Rishus HaYochid, but you can't get the food. Va'amai, why is the Eruv valid? Hu b'mokim echod, va'eruvoi b'mokim achir. Even though, halachically speaking, maybe you're in the same domain, in the same Rishus, but because you cannot get there, it's as good as if you are not in the same Rishus, because you cannot reach the food that you're supposed to get to. Hu b'mokim echod, va'eruvoi b'mokim achir hu. So that is the question, and obviously we're going to have, the Gemara is going to suggest an answer, and in truth the Gemara is going to suggest three different options how to understand the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanakhama say that an Eruv in a closet and you've lost the key is a valid Eruv. Rabbi Eliezer says it's not a valid Eruv. Let's see. So the first explanation the Gemara is going to give us is from Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel d'omra tarvayu, hocha b'migdol shel levenim oskinon. We're talking here about a type of closet which is made of stones, and we'll soon see that since it's made of stones, it's made of a type of stones which is very easy to demolish. And then Rashi obviously adds in, and it's an important point, since it's easy to demolish, pulling down such a closet would not involve an avera of stira, of demolishing, and therefore that's going to be the machlokes. According to Reb Meir, he says that such a type of closet that does not involve a biblical issa of demolishing, you're allowed to even lekatchila demolish it on Shabbos. And therefore, even though you've lost the key, that doesn't mean you cannot get to the food. You can just break the closet and get the food. And since even halachically speaking, you can get to the food even without the key, the Eruv is valid, according to the Tanakhama. Where do we see this? Ditnan. We learnt in the Mishnah. Bayis shemil'eyu peiros. If you have a room, a house full of fruits, full of produce, sosum, and the home is locked, it's closed. V'nifchas, and then somehow an opening was made on Shabbos. Noitel mimokim apchas. Even though when Shabbos came in, you could not reach those fruits, and we may have thought that they are muktzah. No, you're allowed to enter from the opening and take the fruits and eat them on Shabbos, and there's no issue of muktzah. Rav Meir says, not only if it gets broken open, you're allowed to use the fruits, poichas v'noita lekatchila, you can actually go and break an opening into this bayis and take out the produce, even lekatchila. And this Reb Meir is what is our Tanakhama of our Mishnah, according to Rav Shmuel, that says that since you can break open this Migdol, therefore the Eruv is a valid Eruv. Asks the Gemara of Omer of Nachman bar Adom Shmuel, did they not say in the name of Shmuel, Ba'avira de Livni, that it's only true when it's built with stones which are not cemented, there's no cement between the stones. And only in that case, the bayis, the Mishnah we just mentioned, the home with the fruits in, only in that case where the stones have no cement in between them, only then, Reb Meir says, you're allowed to break away the stones from each other and get the food. Says the Gemara, Hachnami ba'avira delivni. Our Mishnah is also talking about a migdal, a closet, which is built with stones that are not cemented together. Asks the Gemara of Amr Abzeira, did Abzeira not say b'yomtav Amr avalei b'shabbos? There was a leniency to do with yomtav that on Shabbos they did not allow you. That means even Reb Meir, that said that you were allowed to break away that house to get to the fruits, it's only if it's yomtav, not on Shabbos. And our Mishnah doesn't make any such exception. Says the Gemara, Hachanami b'yomtav, will say that our Mishnah is talking about on yomtav, and therefore, since we're talking about only on yomtav and only a type of migdal that's made of stones that are not cemented, therefore, according to Reb Meir, you're allowed to break away these stones, and therefore the Chachamim say that the Eruv is a valid Eruv, even if you've lost the key. Yehochi, if you're going to say that we're talking about on Yom Tov, and as we just explained, Hainu Dektonia Lo, it was said in relation to this Mishnah, that Reb Eliezer Oimer, Im Ba'ir, there's a Braisa. The Braisa says, and the Braisa was associated to this Mishnah, that actually makes a difference between whether you lost the key in the, whether the, this Eruv is in the city or whether it's in the fields. And the Braisa is actually talking about Reb Eliezer. Reb Eliezer said in our Mishnah that the Eruv is not a good Eruv if you've lost the key. The Braisa says that Reb Eliezer Oimer, Im Ba'ir Ovad, if the key was lost in the city, Eruv or Eruv, then the Eruv is a good Eruv. V'im Besode Ovad, Ein Eruv or Eruv. And there's a discussion whether this Reb Eliezer in the Braisa is the same Reb Eliezer in the Mishnah, because Reb Eliezer in the Mishnah just said the Eruv was not valid. He didn't tell us whether that it's only if you lost the key in the field, not if you lost the key in the city. Now that's a discussion in Rashi, we don't need to go into that here. But either way, the Braisa that was associated to this Mishnah was talking about a difference between whether you lost the key in the city, and then it's okay. And if you lost the key in the field, then it's not okay. And it says the Gemara, and the Gemara is then asking, if you lost the key in the city, then the Eruv is a good Eruv. Why? Because Abeliezer holds like Reb Shimon, that we've seen early on in the Masechta. Reb Shimon says that within the city where there is a way of getting the key from one place to the next. If you find the key in a chotzer or in a karpeif or in other open type of areas within the city, even though they belong to different people, but since they are not Rosh HaRabim, you can actually carry from one to the other. We've learnt about this previously. And therefore, if you lost the key in the city, you have a way of actually taking the key to wherever the Eruv is, to this Migdal, and opening it up. However, if in the Sodeh, you're not allowed to take the key from wherever it is to the Eruv, and therefore the Eruv will not be a good Eruv. And the Gemara is now asking, V'i b'yomtev, if this Mishnah is talking about yomtev, mali ir mali Sodeh, what's the difference between a city and a field? You're allowed to carry on Yom Tov. The restrictions of carrying are only on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. So what should be the difference? So you see from this Braisa that says that the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, that the Mishnah, which the Braisa is going on this Mishnah, the Mishnah is not only talking about Yom Tov. And how can you explain the Mishnah saying that it follows Reb Meir, that you can break open the bayis, and Reb Zeira said that's only Mutar on Yom Tov? Says the Gemara, Chisure Mechser of Ahochiktoni. You have to read into the Mishnah as follows. Nosnu b'migdol v'noal b'fonav, if you put the Eruv into a closet, into a migdol, and you locked it, v'ovad ha-mafteach, and you lost the key. Hareiz the Eruv is a valid Eruv, and as we saw, the reason it's a valid Eruv is because the Tanakama holds like Reb Meir, that you can break open this migdol because it's made of the types of stones that are not considered demolishing. But this is only true according to only on Yom Tov, as Reb Zeira explained. Aval b'Shabbos, however, if it's on Shabbos, ein eruv v'eruv. Even according to the Chachamim, the eruv is not a valid eruv. Nimtza mafteach. However, if at any point on Shabbos you find the key, bein b'ir, bein b'sode, irrespective of whether you find the key in the city or irrespective of whether you find the key in the city or if you find it in the Sodeh, Ein Eruvoi Eruv, the Eruv is not valid because the Tanakama do not hold the Reb Shimon, and they say that even if you find it in the city, you're not allowed to bring the key to where the Migdol is on Shabbos. And therefore the Eruv is not a good Eruv. Reb Eliezer Oimir, Reb Eliezer says, Be'ir, if you find the key, we're talking only about Yontov, you find the key in the city, Eruvoi Eruv, then the Eruv is an Eruv because he holds, like Reb Shimon, that you can transport the key on Shabbos within the city. Besoda ein eruv o eruv. If you find the key in the soda, in the fields, then you're not allowed to, then the eruv is not valid. And all this is talking about Shabbos. If it's on Yom Tov, the eruv is a good eruv. Be'ir eruv o eruv, k'Reb Shimon. The reason that if you find the key in the city, the eruv is valid is k'Reb Shimon, because he follows Reb Shimon de Omar echot gagois, irrespective of whether it's the rooftops, v'echot chatzeres, or the courtyards, v'echot karpifios, or the other open enclosures, which we've learnt about, rishus achasim, that they are considered a single rishus, even though they belong to different people, regarding lekelim, those kelim sheshavsu b'toichon, those kelim that when Shabbos came in, they were not in the homes, they were either in the chotzer, the karpif, or on the roofs, then it's all the roofs, chatzeris and karpifos, are all considered a single rishus, and you can carry from one to the other. However, besode, if you find the key in the sode, in eruv or eruv, the eruv is invalid. Kerabonon, he holds like rabonon, and the rabonon say that anything which is osur to do on Shabbos, it's also osur to do bein hashmoshes, not like Rebbe, and since the key is in the soda, then even bein hashmoshes, you're not allowed to carry it from the soda to where this migdol is, even pochis midalad amis, even walking less than 4 amos, stopping, walking another, again less than 4 amos, which according to Rebbe, who will hold that since the issa to do that on Shabbos is only midrabonon, then bein hashmoshes would be mutter. But over here, according to Rebbe Eliezer, follows the rabbonon that says that since it's osur on Shabbos, it's also osur bein hashmoshes, and therefore the eruv is not valid. And there's a lot of discussion here. Is this exactly the reading of the Gemara? Is this the version of the Gemara we should be following? But this is the basic reading of the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. So to be saw till now, Rav Shmuel explained our Mishnah. The Chachomim say the Eruv is a good Eruv, even though you lost the key. Rabbi Eliezer says it's not a good Eruv. We're talking about a Migdol made with stones that you're allowed to demolish on Shabbos, according to the Chachomim. The Chachomim hold like Reb Meir, you're allowed to demolish them, and therefore the Eruv is a valid Eruv, because you can get to the food even without a key. According to Reb Eliezer, you're not allowed to demolish it, they don't hold like Reb Meir, and therefore you cannot get to the Eruv, and therefore the Eruv is not valid. That's how Rav Shmuel explained our Mishnah. Now we're going to have another explanation. Rabbi and Rav Yosef to Omri Tarvayu, Rabbi and Rav Yosef both gave another explanation, a different explanation. Hacha b'migdol shel eitzah skinon. We're not talking about a closet made of stones, as we discussed. Till now, we're talking about a closet made of wood. And this closet was more than 40 saw, which means it could contain more than 40 saw of liquids. And generally speaking, we're about to discuss that a little bit, but the general understanding is that those utensils that within, put it this way, in the halachas of Tumah and Tara, a utensil which is less, which contains less than 40 saw, is small enough that can even be carried when it's full without breaking, and therefore it's considered a utensil even that size. However, from 40 saw and up, which is a type of utensil which is so big that you cannot transport it when it's full without breaking it, it's not compared to sack, which is mentioned in the Pasuk, which sack is always transported when it's full, and therefore such a type of utensil is not considered a utensil regarding the halachas of Tumah, and we normally take it for granted that that's across the board. For example, breaking kelim on Shabbos, according to many, we'll soon see, it's a machlokes later on in the Mishnah, that breaking a kli, demolishing a kli, a utensil, might be mutar on Shabbos. Demolishing something that is not considered a utensil, something that's considered an oihel, a tent, a structure, that would be asa. It's called demolishing. So we normally take it for granted that a type of utensil that is less than 40 sa is considered a kli in Hilchas Shabbos. A type of utensil which holds 40 sa or more is not considered utensil, and demolishing it will be asur on Shabbos. Here we're talking about a closet, which is a utensil, it's something that's movable, and we're talking about a very big one. We're talking about one which can contain 40 sa. The Marasova, the Tanakama hold kelihu. Even though it can contain more than 40 sa, it's considered a keli, and at least regarding the halachas of demolishing on Shabbos, ve'ein binyan bekelim, ve'ein stira bekelim. There's no prohibition, or no biblical prohibition of building kelim on Shabbos, and there's no biblical prohibition of demolishing kelim on Shabbos. And since, according to the Tanakhama, it's called a kli, a utensil, you're allowed to demolish it. If you can demolish it, then even if you lost the key, you can just break open into the migdal and take out the eruv, and therefore the eruv is valid. Umara sovar, however, Rabbi Eliezer holds oihel hu. Since it's such a big kli, it's considered an oihel, a structure, a tent, let's call it, and therefore demolishing it will be asr. Since you're not allowed to demolish it, you cannot get to the food. You cannot get to the food. The eruv is not valid. And the Gemara then says, "Ube plukte dehani tanoi." We find elsewhere there's a machlokes, this argument whether such a large kli is considered a kli, or if it's considered an oihel, a structure, a building, so to speak, is actually a machlokes tanoim elsewhere. Ditnan we learnt in a Mishnah. And that Mishnah is regarding a zov. We know that a zov, which is a very severe type of tuma, anything he touches becomes tuma. Not only anything he touches, anything he moves, even if he doesn't touch it. If he causes something to move, then it's also going to become tomei. So says the Mishnah, Hikish al gabe shido teva migdol. And this Mishnah is talking about the tumah called heset, the tumah called moving, not the tumah called touching. So we're talking here about that the zov, for example, is wearing gloves, which means he's not directly touching the whatever he's going to be touching now, but he is going to be moving it. So it's not going to be tumas maga, touch, it's going to be a tuma of movement. Hikish al gabe shido teva umigdol. If this zov, he struck a carriage, a crate, or a migdol, a closet, to me, according to Tanakama, then this shido teva umigdol are tome because he moved it. Reb Nechemi and Reb Shimon Matarim. Reb Nechemi and Reb Shimon argue with the Tanakama, and they say that even though the Zov struck the Shidotevo Migdol, they are Tohir. My love, Bahokam Iflegi. Let's assume this is what we're arguing about. Marasovar Klihu. One, according to the Tanakama, they hold that even though this Shidotevo and Migdol is larger than 40 Sa, it's still considered a Kli. Since it's considered a Kli, it's Mekabel Tuma, Azov moved it. Umar Sovar, however, Rabbi Chemia and Reb Shimon hold, Oyehelhu, since it's such a big utensil, it's not considered a Kli. If it's not considered a Kli, then it's considered an Oyehel. An Oyehel itself would not become Tomei. Only Kalim can become Tomei. So you see that there's a Machlokas Tanoim where the very large utensils are considered utensils, and there it's even talking about Tuma. And so too, says the Gemara, regarding Shabbos, it will be the same machlekes, and that will be the argument of the machlek in our Mishnah. Omar Abaya says, V'tizbara? Could that be the explanation of the Mishnah regarding the Zov, that the Tanakama hold that very big kelim are considered kelim, and therefore they are tomei when he moves them, and Reb Nechemi and Reb Shimon hold that very big kelim are considered oihel, and then even if he moves them, they're not tomei? Can that be? V'atanya, we learnt in the Braisa, oihel v'niseit, even an oihel, which is not a utensil, a tent, a structure, if v'niseit, if the Zov moved it, tomei will be tomei. So you see that regarding the tuma of heset, even an oihel which moves is tomei. So what does it help you to say that Reb Shimon and Reb Nechemia hold that it's an oihel and therefore it's tohir? No, even an oil, if he moves it, is tomei. Kli v'einu nisit, if it's utensil, v'einu nisit, and he didn't move it, toir, then it's toir. We have to see what that means. If he didn't move it, why should it be tomei? We'll soon see that he caused it to shake, but he didn't move it. It didn't move out of place, it just shook. There it's toir, even if it's just a kli. Uktoni seifa, and besides for that, we also learnt in the seifa And it's a, there's a discussion if it's the Sefer of the Braisa or the Sefer of the Mishnah. V'im hoyu nistim tameim, that even Reb Nechemya and Reb Shimon agree that if the, whatever the Zov, whatever he struck, the Shidot, Teva, Migdal, if they actually moved, even Reb Nechemya and Reb Shimon will agree that they're going to be Tomei. So how can you say that the reason that if Reb Nechemya and Reb Shimon say is Toher, when he struck the Shidot, Migdal, or Teva, the reason it's Toher is because it's considered an Oihel, but even an Oihel, they also agree that if it moved, it's Tomei. So the Mishnah must be talking about when it didn't move. Well, then we have to understand the Mishnah. But you can't say, no, it's talking about Tumas Heset, and he moved it. And the question is it a Kli, is it an Oihel? We now have two proofs that that if the Zov actually moved the Shidot Teva or Migdol, irrespective of whether it's called utensil or if it's called an Oihel, it's Tomei. So that cannot be the explanation here. Zeaklal, and then the Braisa continues, Niseit Machmas Koichoi, if the Zov moved it directly, he struck the Teva Migdol and or the Teva Migdol or Shidot, and if it moved with his own force, Tomei, then it's Tomei irrespective of how big it is and irrespective of whether it's a Kli or an Oihel. Machmas Ra'oda, if however the Zov did not strike them, he just banged with his foot on the ground next to them and they shook, they vibrated, then Toir, it's not called direct force, it's called Koyach Koichoi, it's a secondary force, and it's not called Heset, and they are not Tomei. That's what the Braisa says. So if so, let's go back to the mission of Zov. How are we understanding the Machlokes Tanakama and Reb Nechemya and Reb Shimon, whether he struck the Teva Shidor Migdol, that Tanakama say Tomei, Reb Nechemya and Reb Shimon say Toir, then how are we understanding that Machlokes? Elo Amar Abaye. Abaye explains, not like we said before that they're arguing, is it called a Kli, is it called an Oihel? No, we just said now that makes no difference. Elo Dekule Alma Heset Machmas Koichoi Tomei. Everyone agrees that if it actually moved with his Koyach, with his direct force, he struck it and they moved, it's Tomei. Machmas Ra'odo, if it moved, just vibration, koyach koyche, when he stamped on the floor next to it, tohir, it's tohir. V'hochem, this Mishnah, bra'odo machmas koyche yoskinon. He struck them directly. It was koyche. But they didn't move, they just shook. They didn't move out of place. They just vibrated a little bit. V'hochem, ifluga, that's the machlekes. Demar sovar have a heset. Tanakama says it's considered that you moved it, and therefore it's Tomei. Or Marasova, Reb Nechemya and Reb Shimon hold, lo yav heset, it's not considered you moved it, it's just considered that you vibrated it, and therefore it's not Tomei, Tumas Heset. So now that we know that the explanation of the mission of the Zov is only regarding this discussion of Ra'odo Machmas Koichoi, a vibration consequent to direct force, that's the Machlokes, and not as to whether a very big Kli is considered a Kli or an Oihel, we're back to the old rules, that a small Kli, anything up to 40 Saw is considered a Kli, anything above 40 Saw is considered an Oihel. We have no reason to believe that a big Kli, more than 40 Saw, is ever considered a Kli. And therefore, back to our Mishnah, we're going to have a problem. Why, according to the Tanakhama, is it the Eruv a valid Eruv? We're talking about a Migdol that can contain 40 Saw. Even according to the Tanakhama, it's going to be considered an Oihel. Demolishing on Shabbos will be Osa. So why is it a good Eruv? Says the Gemara Masnisin b'maymoik minelo. How are you now going to explain our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, we're going to have now a third explanation in our Mishnah. Abaye v'rova d'omra tarvayu. They both explain b'min oil v'kotir b'mosna oskinon. We're talking about that the closet is locked, and the lock itself is locked with a form of a rope. V'kotir b'mosna is tied with a rope oskinon. Uboya sakino lemifseke. It's a type of a knot that you need a knife to open up this knot. Tanakama sova lock rabiesi. The Tanakhama hold like Reb Yosi de Omar, Kola Kelim Nitlim B'Shabbos. They say any Kli which is used leheter, you're allowed to move on Shabbos. Chutz mi Mosar Agodil V'Yesech al Machresha, besides for a saw, a very big saw, or the knife part of a plow, which that is completely mukta. And we've discussed in Maseches Shabbos the details of this, when you're allowed to use different kelim, depending on what you want to use them for. Letzerich davar hamutar, you're allowed to use that all kelim besides for these two. And over here, it's called a tzerich of a davar hamutar. There's no isser to break open a knot, because you're destroying the knot, you're destroying the rope, and therefore in and of its own, cutting it is not a problem. The question is only whether the knife is mukta. The knife is not mukta, and therefore you're allowed to use the knife to cut it open. You can get to the Eruv, and therefore the Eruv is valid. Rabbi Eliezer says, he holds like Rabbi Nechemya, de Omar afilu talis, even a garment, a filu tarva, the type of a spoon, a ladle, ein nitlin elo letzerich tashmishon, you're only allowed to use them, not only it has to be a davar amutar, you're only allowed to use it for the very purpose that they were designated for. A talis is there to be worn, a tarva, the spoon, is there to used as a spoon. A knife is used to be cut food, to cut bread, to cut fruit, not to cut knots, not to cut ropes. And therefore, according to Rabbi Nechemya, it's mukta. And therefore, since it's mukta, you can't cut the rope open, not because of the rope, but because of the knife. And since you're not allowed to move the knife for this use, you cannot get to the Eruv, it's invalid. And here the Ran explains that Rabbi Eliezer, according to this explanation, must be following the Rabbonon that says that even though the Is of mukta is only midrabbonon, it's Osir even Bein Ashmoshes at the time where the Eruv was supposed to become valid, and therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Eruv is invalid. Those are the three explanations we had to the machlekes in our Mishnah. Continues the next Mishnah. Nizgalgil chutz letchum. Let's just recap. What is a tchum? What is an eruv tchumin? A person whose house, let's call his home A, he wants to walk to B. B is 4,000 amos away from A. You're not allowed to go more than 4,000 amos from more than 2,000 amos from where you are at the onset of Shabbos. So the halacha is that you go to 2,000 amos from A, let's call it C, you put an Eruv at C, and then from C you can walk another 2,000 amos to B. Now there's another halacha that you're allowed to walk around wherever you are, wherever you have acquired residence at the onset of Shabbos, you can walk around that area 2,000 amos, which means you can go 2,000 amos in any direction from that starting place. So if your place of residence when Shabbos comes in is A, you can go 2,000 amos in any direction. So you can go towards C, and you can go in the opposite direction as well. In the event that you make an Eruv, and your shliach, who's putting down your Eruv food for you, is now acquiring your place of residence at the onset of Shabbos at C, now you can go 2,000 amos around C. And that lets you go another 2,000 amos away from A towards B. But if your place of residence is where this Eruv is at C, you cannot go beyond A in the other direction away from C. Because had your starting place been A, you can go 2,000 amos any direction from A. But now that you've decided to make C your starting point, then you can go from A to C, because that's just under 2,000 amos. But you cannot go in the other direction of A, because that's more than 2,000 amos from C. You can just go 2,000 amos around C, which takes you from one extreme is A, the other extreme is B, and that allows you to go from A to B. What happens if the person himself was in A when Shabbos came in? He sent his shliach 2,000 amos away before the onset of Shabbos to put an Eruv at C in order to allow him to walk on Shabbos from C to B. So what happens now if this Eruv moved away, it rolled away a few amos from where it was put down, and now the food you've put down that was supposed to be representing you, representing the owner, in order to, so to speak, that is his place of residence, if that rolled away a few amos, it's now more than 2,000 amos away from where the actual owner is at A. And now A cannot go to that food on when Shabbos comes in, because the food is more than 2,000 amos away from A. So irrespective of whether your starting point is C or your starting point is A, either way you have a problem because the two of them are more than 2,000 amos away from each other now. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Nizgalgil chutz l'tchum. If the food rolled away from the tchum, from the 2,000 amma point, if the Eruv at C rolled away, further away from A, and is now outside the 2,000 amma line, or nofalolov gal, if a heap of rubble fell on top of the Eruv, which would mean that you cannot get to this Eruv on Shabbos, oy nisraf, or the Eruv food burnt, or in the event that it was truma, v'nitmeis, it became tomei, and then nobody, even a kohen, cannot eat truma tomeya. Mib oidyoim, if any of these happened before the onset of Shabbos, einoi eruv, the eruv is invalid. Mishet chasheicha, if however, for the duration of bein hashmoshes, twilight, everything was okay, and only after tseisak echovim, after it became fully dark, only at that point something went wrong with the eruv, Hareza Eruv, as we've learned a number of times, the point in time when an Eruv becomes valid is Bein HaShmoshes. If in the entire duration of Bein HaShmoshes the Eruv is valid, then you can even eat the Eruv, it doesn't matter what happens to it. Continues the Mishnah, Im Sofik, what happens if you have a doubt if any of the above happened before the end of Bein HaShmoshes, or after it became dark, after the end of Bein HaShmoshes. Reb Meir v'Reb Yehuda Oimrim, Hareze Chamar Gamal. Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda say that you have to treat it as a Sofik. What's a Chamar Gamal? Chamar is a donkey driver, a rider. A Gamal is a camel driver. It's very common, what normally happens is that a person that is leading a donkey, the donkey walks ahead of the person. When a person is leading a camel, the person is leading the camel is behind him. So if a person is at the same time trying to ride or trying to lead also a donkey, also a camel, he's being pulled forwards by the donkey and backwards by the camel, and he's stuck in the middle. So Reb Meir Reb Yehuda says the same applies here, that this is a halacha where of chamar gamal. And let's explain that. So in the event that the Eruv was not valid, then his place of residence, which is where he was in person A, that's where he is on Shabbos. That's where his residence is based. He can go 2,000 amas in any direction. He can go 2,000 amas away from C, or he can go 2,000 amas till C, not more, because the Eruv was not valid, and his residence is at A. However, if the Eruv was valid, then his residence is considered as being at C. He can go in one direction towards A, and in the other direction towards B. But he cannot go beyond A, away from C, because that's more than 2,000 amos from C. Being Chamar Gamal means that you don't know if the Eruv was valid, and therefore you're only allowed to go from A to B. From A to C, sorry. You cannot go from C to B, because maybe the Eruv was not valid. You cannot go from A further away from C, the other direction. You cannot do that because maybe the Eruv was valid. And therefore, the only place that he's actually allowed to walk is the place that is covered by both, but irrespective of whether the Eruv was valid or if the Eruv was not valid, then he can only walk in the place where, irrespective of which of whether it was valid or not, he would be allowed to walk there, which is only between A and C. He cannot continue towards B, nor can he go in the other direction of A. I would encourage you all to use some diagrams in the fancy Gemaras today, just to get a clearer picture of what we're saying. As they say, one picture speaks 1,000 words. So that's called the Chamar Gamal. Reb Yosi Reb Shimon Oimrim, they argue and they say, Sofik Eruv kosher. If you have a doubt whether an Eruv is valid or not, we can rely that it's kosher. You can be makel, you can be lenient. Omer Rabbi Yosi said that Avtulmus Heid, Avtulmus attested that Mishum Chamisha Zakenim, in the name of five elders, five sages, Al Sofik Eruv, She kosher, that when you have a doubt whether an Eruv is kosher, you can be lenient. Says the Gemara, Nisgalgil chutz l'tchum. We saw at the beginning of the Mishnah that if an Eruv moves, rolls out of the 2,000 amos from where the person is in person, means if Reuven is in A and he sent somebody to put his Eruv at C, it has to be within 2,000 amos. Otherwise, you can't get there. And now that when the Eruv is valid at C, if the Eruv food moved, rolled out of where C is, away from A, out of the 2,000 amos line from A, we now have a problem that the person at A is more than 2,000 amos away from the Eruv food, and that's an invalid Eruv. Omar Rava, Rava said, Leishonu, that's only true, Eloshin is galgel chutz la'arba amos. That's only true if it moved more than 4 amos. Abul Teich Dalad amos, however, if it moved 4 amos, then we have the rule, and this is the Rava that we've seen a number of times since Naflamad Beis, Hanoisin Eruvoy, Yeshli Dalad amos. A person who puts an Eruv, then around the Eruv, 4 amos is considered his place of residence. So, and as we know, if a person makes an Eruv and within 2,000 amos from where he was, there's a home, then the whole home is included in the 2,000 amos he's coming from, even if part of the home is outside the 2,000 amos. As long as part of the home is within his tchum, then the Eruv food can be put anywhere within his home. This person who put the Eruv food at sea, and now it rolled away, if it rolled within Dalad Amos, it didn't roll more than 4 Amos, then the area around the food is all considered a single Roshus HaYochid. This is the virtual, so to speak, type of Roshus HaYochid in Eruv Tchumin. And since part of that 4 Amos is still within the 2,000 Amos, because C is within 2,000 Amos, and it's not rolled 4 Amos, therefore it's a valid Eruv. Continues the Gemara. Nofal olov gal v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that and the Mishnah actually spoke about 4 cases. Nizgal gil chutz l'tchum, it rolled out of the tchum. Number 2, a heap of rubble fell on top of it. Number 3, it got burnt. Number 4, in the event that it was truma, it became tome. And we have to understand why the Mishnah gives us 4 different examples. They all have the same effect. If the Eruv became invalid, and this is just 4 different ways of an Eruv being invalid, there must be a chiddush in each one. Says the Gemara, Nofal olov gal v'chulu. So we'll soon see about the chiddushim. First the Gemara says, Kasol kodaitoch, the Gemara assumes, De'iboya motzi shokile, that if this pile of rubble fell on top of the Eruv, then we assume that you can reach the Eruv food without transgressing any of the melochas that are osur on Shabbos. So what's the issue? The issue is that the stones that you have to move away are mukta. Lema masnis and doloi karebi. Would it be apparent from here that the Mishnah is not following Rebbe? De'i karebi, if it would be following Rebbe, ha'omer kol dovah shum mishum shvus le'gozru olov bein hashmoshes. We've seen many times so far, Rebbe holds that anything which on Shabbos proper, on Shabbos itself, is only osur midrabbonon bein hashmoshes, which is the window of time where the Eruv becomes valid, it's actually mutter. Mukta is also only midrabbonon. So according to Rebbe, one would be allowed to touch and move mukta bein hashmoshes. If so, why should the Eruv not be valid if a pile of stones fell on top of it? The stones are mukta, you're right, but it's bein hashmoshes. Rebbe says you can move those stones. And if nonetheless the Mishnah says that the Eruv is invalid, do we have proof from here? The Mishnah is not following Rebbe. And in the same way as you're not allowed to move Mukta on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move the Mukta Bein Hashmoshes. If you're not allowed to move the Mukta Bein Hashmoshes, you cannot get to the Eruv Bein Hashmoshes. And that's why the Eruv is invalid. Says the Gemara, Loi. Afilo Teimu Karebi. It could be the Mishnah is following Rebbe. Loi Tzricha. Nonetheless, there's a Chiddush here. Or the case that we're talking about is the boya mora v'chatzina. The issue is not mukta. If the whole issue would have been mukta, then it would have been the valid eruv. Over here we're talking about that a person is actually going to transgress a biblical malocha of either building or plowing, depending on whether it's inside the house or outside in a field, and he's using mora v'chatzina, a hoe or a pick, which are tools used to clear the land, and since you need to use those tools, you're actually transgressing building or plowing. And since it's an Issa min HaTorah on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it bein hashmoshes, and therefore the Eruv is not valid. Continues the Gemara, Utsrichi, And I'll explain to you why we need the first two cases. Number one, that it rolled outside the tchum. Number two, if a pile of rubble fell on top of the Eruv. Diton and his Galgil, if the Mishnah would only have told us that an Eruv that rolls too far away, rolls more than four amis out of the tchum, it's not valid. Mishum delesi gabe. The reason it's not valid is because the Eruv is not within your tchum. Ruvain is in A. He wants the Eruv to be valid at C. It's got to be within 2,000 amas so he can go there. If it's outside 2,000 amas, he cannot go there, and the Eruv is not valid. Avol nofel olav gal, but if a pile of rubble fell on top of the Eruv, d'isye gabe, the food is in the same tchum as the person. I would have thought, eimu lehave Eruv, it should be a valid Eruv. V'itonan, if it would have only said, nofel olav gal, if it would only have told us that if the pile of rubble falls on the Eruv, it's not a valid Eruv, mishum d'michsi, then we would have said that the reason it's not a valid Eruv is because it's totally hidden, it's covered over, and it's as if it's not here. Avol nizgalgil, but if it just rolls away a little bit, zimnin d'osizika, sometimes the wind will can come, umaisile, and actually bring it back in the tchum. It's not covered over, hidden, and out, and gone. It's there, it's just a little bit moved away. The wind will bring it back. And then you'll be able to go to the food, and it'll be a valid Eruv. Eima lehave Eruv, therefore I may have thought that in that case it is a valid Eruv. Tzricha, that's why the Mishnah has to tell us both cases, that irrespective of whether it's just covered but within the tchum, or whether it's not covered and it's outside the tchum and it could roll back in both cases it's not a valid Eruv. Now the Gemara continues. From the Mishnah, oy nisraf truma v'nitmes. If either the eruv got burnt, or if it was truma, then and it became tomei, lomali tana nisraf. The reason that the Tana is telling us the case of nisraf is lo yidiacha koychei de Rabbi Yosi, in order to teach us the extent of Rabbi Yosi's leniency. Rabbi Yosi says that when you have a sofik, he says that the Eruv is valid. As we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Sofik, Eruv, Kosher. So to teach us the extent of that leniency, that's why it tells us that even if it was burnt, I mean, even if it was completely burnt and it's not here anymore, nonetheless, Rabbi Yosi says that if you have a Sofik, it's a valid Eruv. And Tana, Truma v'nitmeis, the reason that the Mishnah brings the case of Truma that became Tomei is lo'idiacha koichoi de Reb Meir, to tell us the extent of Reb Meir's Chumra. Reb Meir was the one that said in the Mishnah, Reb Meir Reb Yudah Oimrim, harei ze chamar gamal. What's chamar gamal? As we explained, it means you have to assume that, or you have to act as if the Eruv was not valid. It's also a Sofik. You have to be stringent on both sides. If the Eruv was valid, you cannot go beyond A in the other direction. If the Eruv was not valid, you cannot go beyond C towards B, and you can only go between A and C, as we explained. When that stringency of Reb Meir is even in the case of Truma. When the case of Truma Tameir, we have a concept called Chazaka. You had Truma, it was Tohir. It's true that now, you can see it's Tomei, but we're talking about a Sofik. You don't know whether it became Tomei after Chashecha, after nightfall, or if it became Tomei before. If it became Tomei only afterwards, the Eruv is valid. If it became Tomei before, it's invalid. So why don't you use Chazaka, which is a presumption? There's a concept called Chazaka, that something that was stayed the way it was until proven otherwise. That is what a chazok is. This truma was becheskas tohir. We assume it to be tohir unless you have proof otherwise. So when you find it now tomei, after nightfall, we assume that now it became tomei. And we should be using chazoka to tell us that till this point, it was tohir. And Reb Meir wouldn't be machmir. So says the Gemara that in order to tell us that we don't say this, we don't use chazoka, then you do not use Chazaka Lekulam, we'll see in the Gemara. Why? That's what the Chiddush of the Mishnah was. The Mishnah had to speak to us about Truma that got Tomei, just in order to tell us that Reb Meir is Machmir when it's Sofik and does not rely on Chazaka. Continues the Gemara. V'sova Reb Meir Sveika L'chumra? We just saw in the Mishnah, you have a Sofik if the Eruv is valid. Reb Meir said it's Chamar Gamal, which means that you're Sofik, you're being Machmir, you're being stringent. Vatnan, this seems to contradict Reb Meir in the Mishnah. We saw in the Mishnah, Tomei, if a person was Tomei, Shiorad Litvah, he went down to immerse himself in the mikveh. Sofik Toval, Sofik Loi Toval. We have a Sofik if he actually immersed himself. Vafilu Toval, in the event that he did immerse himself in the mikveh, Sofik Toval Barboim, so Sofik Loi Toval Barboim, so we have a Sofik whether there was enough water in the mikveh to be called a valid Tvila, to make him Toir. V'chein Shnei Mikvois, or if he had two mikvois, Ba'achas yesh ba'arboim so, ba'achas ein ba'arboim so, and only one of them you have a sufficient amount of water. V'tovel ba'achas men, and this Tommy person, he immersed himself in one of the two mikvois, ve'eino yodea ba'ezu men, he doesn't remember which one. Ba'ezu men tovel, he doesn't know which one, he tovelled, sveikoi Tommy. Then the halach is that he's Tommy. He was Tommy before. We don't know if he went into a mikvah, we don't know if he immersed himself appropriately with all the halachas, so he's going to be Tommy. Bamed Dvarim Amurim, when is this true? B'tum Chamura, when the level of his Tommy was Tommy min HaTorah. Aval B'tum Kalo, however, if he's only Tommy Midrabonon Kegoin, for example, Sh'ochal Oichlin Tomeim, if he ate Tommy foods, where even though normally foods cannot make a person Tommy, but we saw early on in the Masechta that if a person eats more than a certain amount of Tommy foods, he becomes Tommy midrabonon. Or v'shasa mashkin tmeim, or he drank beverages that were Tommy. V'habor roishiv rubi b'mayim shuvim, or if he immersed himself in his head and most of his body in drawn water. Or if three lugim of drawn water fell or was poured on top of his head. And these are all halachas that we've seen in Maseches Shabbos at length at the beginning of Maseches Shabbos. In all these cases where he's only Tomei Midrabonon, V'yorad Litvoil, and he went down to the mikvah. Sofik Toval, Sofik Loi Toval, we don't know if he Tovald. Or V'afilu Toval, even if he did Tovald, Sofik Toval Barboim Sa, Sofik Loi Toval Barboim Sa, we don't know if there was 40 Sa. The same sfeik as we saw before. V'chein Shnei Mikvois, or if you have a case of two Mikvois, B'achas Men Arbo, Yesh Barboim Sa, B'achas Ein Barboim Sa. We know there were two mikvois, only one of them had enough water. V'toval ba'achas men, and he tovelled in one of them. Ve'einu yodea ba'eze men toval, he doesn't know in which one he immersed himself. Sveikoi tohir. This is the stoma, it's the anonymous Tanakama, which is always Reb Meir, and he says tohir. So we see here that if it's minatayra, he's machmir. If it's midrabonon, he's tohir. Reb Yosi metame, Reb Yosi says that in all cases, even where he's only Tommy Midrabonon, it's Tommy, he's Machmir. So we have a question. Tchumin, the requirement to make an Eruv Tchumin, we're assuming now is Drabonon. And since it's Drabonon, in our Mishnah, where we have a Sofik with Tchumin, and it was Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda who is Machmir, Reb Yosi and Reb Shimon are more lenient. And here we have a Mishnah with a Sofik of Tvila, where the person was only Midrabonon Tommy, and here we have exactly the opposite. Reb Meir is Machmir, and Reb Yosi is Mekel. So we have a contradiction in Reb Meir, contradiction in Reb Yosi. So the contradiction of Reb Yosi we're going to see on Daf Lamed Vav. The contradiction in Reb Meir, says the Gemara, Kosova Reb Meir, Tchumin Doiraisininu. Reb Meir was one of the Talmidim of Reb Akiva, and Reb Akiva himself in Soita Daf Chav Zayin Omud Beis held that Tchumin, the requirement, the Issa to go out of the Tchum, more than 2,000 Amos, and the requirement to make an Eruv if you want to go out is a biblical one. And therefore, our Mishnah, according to Reb Meir, is a Sofik Deiraisa. If it's a Sofik Deiraisa, we understand that you have to be Machmir. Like in the Mishnah with Tumah, if the person was Tomei Min HaTorah, he has to be Machmir. He has to be more stringent. So too in our Mishnah, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda say you have to be stringent. The Sova Reb Meir Tchumin Doiraisa? Can it really be that Reb Meir holds that the requirement of making a Tchum and the Issa to go out of the Tchum is only min HaTorah? Vatnan, this seems to contradict another Mishnah, a Mishnah we're going to learn later on Daf Nun Ches at length. Im Ein Yochei Lehavlioi Bezu Omar Reb Dustoi Bar Yanai Mishum Reb Meir Shomati Shemekadrin Bahorim. And I do not want to go into the details of this now, we're going to learn it at length on Daf Nun Ches. But one of the leniencies with the way that we measure the distance of 2,000 Amos from the edge of a city is we take a string, a rope, and that's how they would measure the distances. And in some circumstances, when you have a hill that you have to go over, then we are more lenient and we'd say to the people, you don't need to actually measure the whole slope up and the whole slope down, but you can just, so to speak, assume as if you've bored a hole through the mountain, straight, horizontal, and you're allowed to count the distance that way. And that's what it says, that Mishum Rab Meir Shomati, that Shemekadrin Bahorim, that you're allowed to pierce, so to speak, the mountain, virtually speaking, and it's a leniency. And that Mishnah is talking about measuring Tchum. If you hold that Tchum is Minatayra, Mimekadrin, can we rely on this leniency that we haven't understood properly? We're going to see it later, but there is such a leniency called Mekadrin, a virtually type of piercing the mountain. Can you do that in the event that Tchumin would be Min HaTayra? Rav Nachman said, in the name of Rabbi Baravua, that in other cases where we have to measure distances from towns, which are Min HaTayra, and there it's clear that you cannot use this leniency. Ein Mekadrin, Loi Ba'ori Miklot, when we're trying to measure the outskirts of an Ori Miklot, which are the cities where somebody who killed somebody else unintentionally has to escape to, so that the relatives of the deceased should not take their revenge on him, and that's Min HaTayra. So the outskirts of this city, when you measure the distances, you do not use the leniency of Mekadrin. Loi Be'Eglu Arufa, when measuring distances in the halachas of Eglu Arufa, when you find a dead person, nobody knows who killed him, they would measure the distances to the various cities around where the dead man was found. And there also, since it's Min HaTayra the measuring, you cannot rely on the leniency of Mekadrin. Mipnei Shein Shel Tayra, because the distances mentioned there are halachas that are biblical halachas. So if Tchumen would be biblical halachas, you wouldn't be allowed to use Mekadrin. So how can we say that Mishum Rab Meir Shomati Shemekadrin Bahorim by Tchumen, if Rab Meir says that Tchumen is Deraisa? Answers the Gemara Loi Kasha. Hardy day, the Rab Meir in our Mishnah that is being more stringent, he holds that Tchumen is Deraisa, like his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Hard Rabbi, but this that Rabbi Yannai said in the name of Shomati, I heard from Rab Meir that Mekadrin Bahorin, you do use a leniency by Tchumen, that's not his opinion, that's one of his other Rebbes of Rab Meir, and one of his other Rebbes held that Tchumen was Drabonon. Daikanami, Diktoni, a little bit of proof to this would be Bezu Omar Abdustoi Bar Yannai Mishum Rab Meir, Shomati Shemekadrin Bahorim Shema Mino. When it says, what was said in the name of Rab Meir, Shomati, that Rab Meir said, I heard that Mekadrin Bahorim. That is not something I hold of myself. It's not something that my Rebbe Rabbi Akiva said. I had a different Rebbe and I heard from him that you can be Mekel, because Tchumen is Drabonon according to that Rebbe. Shema Mino. So Rab Meir himself holds that Tchumen Doiraisa. There were other people who held Tchumen Drabonon. Ask the Gemara, Veromi Dairaisa Adairaisa Le Rab Meir. So what are we left with? That according to Rab Meir, also in the case of the mikvah, also in the case of the tchum, that he's machmir, because it's a sofik Dairaisa. But it seems to be that we have another case where there's a sofik Dairaisa, where Rab Meir is not machmir. Ditnan we learnt in a Mishnah. Noga Be'echod Balaila. If Reuven touched Shimon in the night, Reuven doesn't know if Shimon was alive or dead when he touched him. In the morning, Reuven woke up and saw that Shimon was dead. Now, if he touched Shimon when Shimon was alive, Reuven is Toher. If he touched Shimon when he was dead, then Reuven is Tommy. What do we do now? Rab Meir Matair. Rab Meir says he's Toher. Touching a dead person is a very stringent type of Tumah min HaTorah. Rab Meir is Matair. The Chachomim say, is Tommy, Shekol Atmeir is Kushas Mitzioson. The Chachomim say that in the halachas of Tumah, if you find a person now dead, then we assume that he was dead when you touched him. So you see here, according to Rab Meir, even though it's Min HaTorah, he's lenient, and that doesn't seem to work with the Rab Meir that we know by Mikvah and the Rab Meir that we know in our Mishnah. Omar Rab Yirmiya, Mishnoseinu Shehoya Oleo Sheretz Kolbe Nashmoshes. Our Mishnah that Rab Meir is being stringent is not talking about that we don't know when it became Tomei or not, because then it would have seemed that it's the same as he doesn't know if Shimon was alive or dead, and he should be makel. Why is he being more machmir? Why is he being stringent? Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, because it's not a sophic. We know in absolute that there was a sheretz, there was something that was making this eruv food tomei from the beginning of Bein HaShemoshes until the end of the Bein HaShemoshes. That's why he's being machmir. Asks the Gemara, I don't understand. The whole Mishnah is talking about sophic. Yehocha bahar leimer Rabbi Yossi sophic eruv kosher. This is called sophic eruv, and Rabbi Yossi is saying kosher. This is vaday tomei. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Rabbi Yosef de Omra Tarvayu, that we're not talking about that we know definitely there was a sheretz from beginning to end, because then there's no sophic, everybody will say the Eruv is not valid. The Truma became Tomei from the beginning of Bein HaShemoshes. Hocha b'shtei kitei edim oskinon. We're talking about that two sets of witnesses came. One set of witnesses came and said it's definitely Tomei. Another set of witnesses came and said it's definitely Tohir. The first set of Edim say it was Tomei already before the onset of Shabbos, before Bein HaShemoshes. The other one says that it only became Tomei after nightfall. And if so, then it goes like this. The reason to be Makel would have been that if you have a Sophic, then we have a Chazaka. As we saw before, there's a concept called Chazaka. And there's a Chazaka that this Truma food was actually Tohir. It was definitely Toyer before. The question is, at what point did it become Tomei? So Chazaka, the presumption should be that it stayed Tomei, Toyer, till the very last moment, until we know now it's Tomei. But that's all very good if the Chazaka itself, is the presumption, is not contradicting a set of witnesses. But here that you have a set of witnesses that clearly say it was Tomei from before Shabbos, then you would not use a Chazaka, even though there's another set of witnesses that are contradicting the first set. Since you cannot use the Chazaka, you're left with two sets of Edim that have equal weight. You're left with a Sophic Deraisa, and a Sophic in Deraisa is Lechumra. However, in the case where Reuven touched Shimon and is not sure if Shimon was alive or dead, there we don't have any witnesses, and therefore we have a Chazaka. We have a Chazaka that this person was Tohir until proven otherwise, so we assume that till the morning Shimon was alive and Reuven is Tohir. Rav Omer, Rav says that even in the event that you have a contradicting set of witnesses in the case of Reuven and Shimon, where Reuven touched Shimon and doesn't know if he was dead, even if you have two sets of witnesses, we would still say, Rav Meir could still say that he's Tohir, and it would not be a contradiction to our Mishnah where you have two sets of Edim and we do not say that the Truma stayed Tohir right through till Bein HaShemoshes, till end of Bein HaShemoshes, because there's a difference between the case of the Truma that became Tomei in our Mishnah and the case of Reuven that became Tomei, that maybe became Tomei from Shimon in that Mishnah. Because Hosom Trei Chazaka Lekula. Over there you've got two Chazakas. There's one Chazaka that Reuven was Tohir and stayed Tohir until proven otherwise. Two, there's a Chazaka that Shimon is alive, and we assume he stayed alive until proven otherwise. And if he found him dead in the morning, we assumed that at that moment he died. So you've got two presumptions that both of them are telling us that Reuven is Tohir. And therefore Reb Meir says Tohir. Even if there would be two sets of contradicting witnesses in that case. V'hochabat, in our Mishnah, chod chazaka lekula. There's only one chazaka, and that is that the Truma was Tohir. Do we assume that it's still Tohir? If there were no witnesses, then we would use the chazaka. But since over here you've got a set of witnesses that say that it definitely was Tomei, did become Tomei at the beginning, we therefore cannot use the chazaka. We're left with an equal sophic, sophic deraisa l'chumra, and that's why in our Mishnah, Rab Meir is machmir. And Emir Tashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here to try and explain why Rabbi Yossi is not a contradiction.